Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Tony D in for Zach on Stokely and Zach. So the Broncos head of schedule? Mike Pritchard thinks so. He was on Cecil earlier today. So where are they ahead of schedule with the trade for Joe Flacco? Is that where we're at?
Well, you know, when you look at where you are now after the trade, I think it does put you ahead of schedule. And, you know, a lot of it is going to come down to whether Flacco plays at a high level or not. But I think certainly the situation that you were in with Case Keenum going into the last year of his deal and having to watch him play the quarterback position again. And then what after that? Was a lot worse in the situation you're in now. So I think this puts you in a lot better situation and puts you ahead of schedule. Certainly puts you ahead of schedule, especially if Joe Flacco plays at a high level.
All right, here's what Mike Pritchard said with Cecil earlier today.
I don't think the Broncos are desperate. In fact, they are ahead of schedule. And here's what I mean by that. When you consider quarterbacks and when you consider replacing Hall of Fame quarterbacks or Super Bowl winning quarterbacks and stuff like that, the Broncos are ahead of schedule. Think about it. After Marino, the Dolphins, they've gone through 8 quarterbacks and still have not gone back to the Super Bowl. Think about Aikman and the Dallas Cowboys. 8 quarterbacks since that Hall of Famer has retired. But here you have the Denver Broncos. After Elway, it took them 5 quarterbacks before Peyton Manning got to a Super Bowl. Now it's been 2 quarterbacks working on 3 quarterbacks after Manning. The Broncos are ahead of schedule. What if Flacco gets the Broncos to the Super Bowl again within 3 years? Okay, then that's only 3 quarterbacks. Broncos still ahead of schedule.
All right, so I absolutely agree with that, because as I said earlier, I mean, there's not very many people. The world is not filled with people who can play this position at a high level, or at least play this position. The league doesn't have even enough quarterbacks who can fill the positions that it has in terms of teams. So the Broncos at least have that guy that, and again, I understand the degree and I understand the stats, believe me, but for a guy that can play as a starter in this league, they at least have the guy.
They do. And, you know, are they ahead of schedule? I don't like to compare it to other teams. I mean, I wouldn't like to wait at all, you know. Comparing to, you know, Dallas or these other teams. I would love to have been just like the Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, smooth sailing, right? But that's just not all the way it works. It's hard to find these guys, right? I think that's the thing to look at here when you're looking at these quarterbacks. Yeah, Elway, he's been looking for the replacement for Peyton Manning now for going on 4 years. Haven't found one, right? So these guys are hard to find. I mean, how many competent quarterbacks play in the NFL? Like you said, I mean, is it 20? And the bottom half of them aren't very good. So, look, if you can get one that's competent and that can man the ship and that will allow you to build around that quarterback position and hopefully get the best out of the guy, then you know what? You can get this thing moving back in the right direction, and it gives John time. That's what it really does here for me. It gives him time to find the next guy. And it doesn't have to be this year. So it frees him up a little bit, the weight off of his shoulders, a little pressure removed from having to go in this bad quarterback draft class and find that next guy.
When you look at what we were talking about before with the fact that here are the Broncos coming off back-to-back losing seasons and an organization that doesn't do that, whereas other organizations go 5-6 years struggling, you know, trying to find a quarterback or trying to find something that works, trying to find a head coach that works or whatever, this is a city that is not accustomed to that at all, right? The Broncos win. They may not win Super Bowls, but they win and are competitive. How much does this move say, like, look, if you're John Elway, you don't want to be on your watch the guy that's running a team that has 3 straight losing seasons?
Well,
when it doesn't happen in this town.
Right. I mean, that's a big part of it, obviously. But who likes to lose?
Nobody likes to lose.
John doesn't like to lose.
That's one of the reasons why rebuilding is so hard to do. It's hard to admit that you have to do. Because when you think about rebuilding, it's like, does that mean I got to go 4-12?
Right. And the problem is, like, I could rebuild if I had the hope of a young quarterback, but we're going through a rebuilding process and we don't have a hope of a young, who's our young quarterback? So are you going to start that process now after 2 bad years, after 5-11, 6-10? No. I mean, John Elway certainly is not going to do that. So what is his option? His option is get a veteran quarterback. Well, those guys aren't falling off of trees, you know, so you probably got the best option available for your football team to try to get this thing back on track, right? You think John wants to be a bad football team for 3 years in a row? Well, what's the best way to get this thing back, the Broncos back to their winning ways? It's a veteran quarterback. What was the best option for the Rich Gangarello offense, for the Denver Broncos? It was Joe Flacco. So, I mean, that's why they made the move. This gives them the best opportunity. The best opportunity to win in 2019.
So going back to some of the holes, let's go back to something about some of the list of names that we had earlier, that where we said, look, some of these guys have to go, some of these guys have to stay. In terms of some of the names that the Broncos may want to move on from, are there any that on that list that we had earlier that you think, okay, this is something that they have to pursue to continue to what they want to build?
Well, Matt Paradis is definitely the one that sticks out, that you would try to keep him in town. You got enough holes on the offensive line. Certainly you want your centerpiece and the guy, calling all the signals and getting everybody on the same page, and a veteran in this league, Matt Paradis. You want him to be around. So to me, it starts with him. I think Darian Stewart's going to be gone. Bradley Roby probably gone. You look at Shaq Barrett, interesting situation. And I just don't, with your two frontline guys in Chubb and Von Miller, you're probably not going to be able to keep Shaq Barrett. That's just the nature of the game, and good for Shaq. Hopefully he goes somewhere, has a chance to be a starter, and gets paid a lot of money. Shane Ray is an interesting one. What will his marketplace be? Will there be a market for him? Will he sign a one-year deal somewhere? That's probably where he'll be, a one-year prove-it deal, and it probably won't be with the Denver Broncos. But ultimately, Vic Fangio could look at a Shane Ray and say, hey, let me try to get another year with that guy. Let's see if we can get him healthy, because I love what I saw before he got injured. But it probably has run its course with Shane Ray. Jeff Heuerman's a guy that you look at, and it's probably the same thing as Shane Ray. Probably run its course, and probably time to go younger, and you'll probably end up picking a veteran guy up. You look at Wolf, his situation, his contract, and you look at Emmanuel Sanders. Those are the two that kind of will be the curious ones for me. What direction do the Broncos go? They could save a lot of money with both of those contracts. Right. When you look at a Derek Wolf, and if you release them, you save approximately over $8 million on the cap. You'll have a dead cap hit of a little over $2 million. If you keep him, you got a cap hit of almost $11 million. So, and that's what teams look at. You're talking about a defensive lineman that is going to be 29 this year. So he'll be an interesting one. And Emmanuel Sanders coming off the Achilles. Those two, to me, are at the top of the list to see how the Broncos handle those two veteran guys.
All right, simple question. Was it a good week for the Denver Broncos? We'll answer that next. Tony D in for Zach on Stokely and Zach. So, was this a good week for the Denver Broncos? Well, let me say this. There are two sides to this in terms of whether or not it was a good week. There's the football side of it, which is what the organization cares about. And then there's the kind of the PR public perception, which they don't, but still is at least floating out there. That being said, if you were to kind of merge the two, what they did on the football side of it and how it's being received, was this a good week for the Broncos?
I don't think it was a good week. I think it was a great week for the Denver Broncos. You upgraded your quarterback position. And then you also got to realize what it did for that locker room. Guys like Emmanuel Sanders. Young guys that know who Joe Flacco was and what he's able to accomplish, right? They don't look at the stats, and they don't look at, what's happened here in the last couple of years. They know Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And certainly a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, heading into his last year of his contract, he wants to look at the quarterback position and believe in that guy, that guy's going to be able to deliver him the football, and that he's going to be able to put up a lot of yards and a lot of catches. And that just wasn't going to be the situation with Case Keenum. But now you got Joe Flacco, and I think the optimism that it brings in the locker room, the energy that it brings in the locker room, now that you got a new guy back there, you got a Super Bowl winning quarterback, I think it does wonders for that locker room moving forward throughout the offseason and into the season.
What about Rick Scangarello? I mean, a good week for him, a great week for him, getting a guy like Flacco to work with.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about a coach that wants a certain quarterback, right? He doesn't want a full-time shotgun quarterback that's going to have trouble under center, right? He wants a guy that can do a little bit of both. And I think people right away would say, what's the big deal? right, what's the big deal? Like, you ought to be able to play from under center or in the shotgun. It is a big deal, especially in today's NFL and in today's college game where and youth sports. I mean, quarterbacks aren't under center anymore. They're all in the shotgun. And so it's a big, big change for a lot of these quarterbacks. And Joe Flacco operates under center as well as he does in the shotgun, comfortable in both. He has played in this type of system, right, with Gary Kubiak, had his best year of his career in this type of system. So I think you look at Joe Flacco, and obviously he's the perfect fit for Rich Scangarello and what Rich wants to do. And a guy that's, you know, I don't know if the terminology will be exactly the same as Gary Kubiak, but certainly the concepts, a lot of the concepts will be the same.
And I think it's a good week for the Broncos in the fact that they know who the quarterback is going to be. And again, you can argue whether or not that's, you know, whether this is the guy or not, and all of the reasons to not be comfortable with Flacco. But the reality of it is to shore up that position with a guy who can start in this league and was a starter in this league until an injury kind of where he lost his job to Lamar Jackson. But as you pointed out, if he didn't, chances are he would have finished the season as the Ravens quarterback.
Yeah, he would have. And you make a good point. Look, I don't think there's any discussion. And I don't think there will be any discussion about who's the starting quarterback right for the Denver Broncos in 2019. It's Joe Flacco, right? So you can put that to rest, and the Broncos can move forward. If you had Case Keenum, certainly there's speculation that, you know, how long will he be the guy? Will it be a short hook for him? You know, John Elway, you just said a couple months ago that he's your short-term answer. So, you know, it was just time to move on from Case Keenum. And you don't want that kind of those thoughts building in the building from your players, from the outside. You don't want those types of distractions. We've seen that. It doesn't work out. Competitions or quarterback looking over his shoulder. You want that guy to feel empowered and to be the guy, and certainly that is Joe Flacco now for the Denver Broncos.
Now, without this deal or any other deal that could have possibly happened, the reality of it is would have been Case Keenum and an uncertain future as to him being the quarterback, drafting a quarterback and having that guy being the most popular guy in town until he actually played,
right,
and wondering which one was going to have to, you know, which one was going to break, how it was going to work out, at what point in the season where you were going to have to give the young guy the opportunity to take over the team to which he was destined to take over.
Well, it avoids all those distractions.
Right.
You know, that's what this move does. And, you know, people can say all they want about, well, these guys are getting paid a lot of money. This shouldn't be that big of a distraction. But it is, and we've seen it. You need to have your guy. You want to move forward with one guy, knowing that that guy could be around here very easily, and I think he will for the next 3 years, unless he falls on his face. I think Joe Flacco is a quarterback here for the next 3 years. So, you know, and you look at Case Keenum, I don't know. What if, you know, the national perspective of Case Keenum and, you know, his great year in Minnesota, then obviously came back to earth a little bit, didn't have a good year at all last year. Any chance that people are thinking that Broncos could get something for him,
yeah,
or that he could still be on the roster?
Yeah. You got to cut ties with him. That's the problem.
Right.
Where does he go?
Agreed.
Where could he land? Look, I don't know how desperate other teams are for a quarterback that would want to go down that road rather than other options, rather than getting a younger guy in the draft or figuring out another situation at quarterback. I don't know. But I don't know if Keenum, what kind of value Keenum has for, let's, I don't know.
Who? That's the problem.
Jacksonville, right? I don't think so.
I mean, you think Jacksonville wants Case Keenum to be their plan? You know,
I don't think so.
I think teams realize that.
So if Jacksonville wouldn't, why would Denver? Why should Denver settle on that, right, when they didn't have to?
Exactly. That's why they didn't. I just don't think there's any suitors out there. Certainly not for a starting spot. But I think people would love to have him for their backup, right? But not the starter. So you're not going to trade anything for a backup. Especially a backup that's, you know, going to be making $18 million this year, right? So you look at his contract, and I think teams will just say, okay, we'll just wait for him to be released. And then once he's released, you know, everything that he makes for another team, it comes off of his $7 million that the Broncos get. So if Jacksonville pays him $3 million, well, the Broncos only have to pay him $4 million. So I think there'll be whatever team it is, he'll probably sign a one-year deal, and he'll probably sign for the minimum. And so, you know, which will be right around $1 million, and the Broncos will be on the hook for $6 million. But I think a team would rather go that route than trading an asset and now having to figure out this $18 million contract for a backup quarterback.
Yeah, and think about this. Whenever a quarterback gets paid heavily, right, there's always the detractors in this fan base. But then you always go, well, who's out there? Who else would you want? Or a coach, right, where they hire a coach and they say, oh, I don't like this guy. Well, tell me, before you criticize, tell me what you would have done differently or where you would have gone. What is the reality of this position for the Broncos, right? Keeping Case Keenum, young guy in the draft, or making a trade for a guy like Flacco, right? There's a talk about Nick Foles or whatnot, but if it's too value or it's too costly and it doesn't work out in terms of reciprocation, you can't make that move.
Right.
So, and you look at the schedule coming up, right? This is a team that's going to be playing teams in the NFC North, right?
Yep. Like
the Lions and Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be playing Indianapolis coming up this year. You're going to put a young kid in a situation like that and try to avoid a third straight losing season? I mean, at least give yourself a fighting chance.
Yeah, that was a situation, you know, and that's part of why it was a good move for the Broncos. They didn't have any other options. It was Case Keenum, and they didn't want to draft a quarterback. It's not a great class to begin with, and what else are you going to do?
Am I misreading that? That's a good point. Am I misreading the draft class? Because I don't hear anybody that is a franchise level quarterback that's coming out this year. But it's possible I might be misreading some of the analysis.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they like Drew Lock, but I don't hear the same kind of thing.
That seems like it's a consensus. That doesn't mean that one of these guys won't make it.
Oh, sure.
And certainly with the Broncos drafting at 10, you don't have your pick of the litter. Like you know, you can't say, okay, we love Haskins. You know, let's get Haskins. I mean, you have to be able to trade up, and that involves more assets, right? That you need to be spending elsewhere. So I just think that the Broncos looked at the situation and just realized that none of these quarterbacks coming out were worthy of a high pick. And even if one of them is, you know, would the Broncos be able to get them at 10? And so that was part of the problem, I think, with them. And then on top of it, look, you've lost 2 years in a row. What are you going to do? You've got a lot of holes to fill. You've screwed the quarterback position up over and over and over again. And Joe Flacco was your best bet to try to get it right for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and don't go down that spiral, because there's a lot of teams that can't figure out that position and then go down that spiral where it's 6-7 years of losing or real futility.
It can happen,
and this city has never really experienced that. So we'll find out what he's all stoked up about next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Tony, I loved what I heard from Daniel Jeremiah. He has the Broncos taking LSU inside linebacker Devin White. The Broncos are releasing Brandon Marshall, and there is a big need for a three-down linebacker, a guy that's stout against the run, but also can cover tight ends and running backs in the passing game. We've been looking for one since Danny Trevathan left for the Bears, and Devin White would be that guy for the Broncos. And, Tony, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
And you're right about Devin White, because he's like projected to be one of the top overall picks. Forget like linebackers and how that grades. He's projected to be like a top five prospect that's going into the draft.
Yeah, and if you can add that type of player to this defense where you got the two edge rushers and you can have that physical presence inside, I mean, now you have the makings of just playmakers that can, you know, when you're trying to pass against them, you got those guys, and you got a cover linebacker, and you're trying to run the ball against them, you got a guy that can run sideline to sideline. So obviously he fits a need, and he's a really good football player. So hopefully he's available at 10, and certainly it would be a great pick for the Broncos if they're able to get him.
Yeah, and LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda told him, your stock is so high right now, you don't come back.
Yeah. Like, go. That's right.
It can only go down. You're at a peak. You better capitalize on the peak.
When a college coach tells you to leave, that means that says all you need to know about him. Good football player.
I read that he's predicting that he's going to run the 40 in like 4.4, 4.5. Is he that quick? That's fast.
That's blazing. That's especially for a linebacker.
Right.
So I guess we'll see. We'll see. But certainly he's a really good football player. You know, he's played in the SEC on a really good defense at LSU. So, you know, the Broncos, look, we know John's thought process and mentality. It's like, you know, he's told to keep a strength. So obviously I think if he's there, you could see John taking him if he's still available. If not, you know, I think you could look at some of these offensive linemen that will be available. Certainly there's a huge need there. You know, the cornerback position is another one where they'll have a couple guys that possibly could be available. So they're in a good spot to get a good football player. You just can't miss at 10. You know, you got to do what you did last year in the draft, and especially in the first round. You can't swing and miss on the 10th overall pick.
No, not only that, but it also, because of the Flacco move, frees them up to look at other things. And the idea that you can have a discussion about Devin White when the conversation was, which quarterback is Elway going to take before this deal, now becomes a little bit more interesting. And in a lot of ways, exciting because of the flexibility.
Yeah, and that's my question to you, Tony, is like, where do you think they should head? You know, obviously we know the holes that are involved with this football team and some of the things that they need to address. I mean, if you were looking at this football team, I mean, is it inside linebacker? Is it offensive line? Or is it cornerback?
Yeah, no, I'm high on Greedy Williams, and I'm high on DeAndre Baker. I like both of those guys. But I the Devin White answer to this that Jeremiah gave us was great. I mean, it was because this is the kind of player that right now, when you're looking at what the news is and where they're looking at in terms of the linebacker situation, and here's a guy that is on the board, could be on the board, and you have the ability to get him because there's not something that's so pressing that you have to put it over a guy like this, I think is an answer that they're looking for.
If he's gone, where do you head? If he's gone,
Greedy Williams a lot.
Yeah. Go cornerback.
I do. Because, again, look at 2019 and who they're going up against. You really got to get somebody alongside Harris that can at least help you shore up that position. They're going up against a lot of throwers next year.
Wow. That's a tough choice for me, you know.
Offensive line?
Yeah. I mean, you look at this offensive line and just the need there of finally getting one and getting it right and saying, we got that guy for the next 5 years and we don't have to worry about left guard or right tackle. Yeah. And if you have that guy available, man, it's hard to pass on him. But certainly you need a cornerback too. I might pass on the cornerback and go offensive line. And just hold out hope and keep my fingers crossed as Isaac Yiadom is ready to step in and play a little bit better than he did last year. Would certainly you would think that he would. He was a rookie last year. And you just keep your fingers crossed that Chris Harris got a few more years left in him and Isaac Yiadom plays at a high level, and then maybe you can find a veteran in free agency to help give you some depth there. I think I might lean more towards the offensive line at 10 if Devin White's not available.
Where do you fit on that old debate? We get this every draft, especially when you have a high pick. Need or best player available?
I think it's got to line up. You know, it's a little bit of both. It's not one or the other for me. It's you got to address some needs, right? You can't just say, okay, well, you know, this is the best player available. He fell to us. Well, we're going to take another outside linebacker. I mean, that would be foolish for the Broncos to take another outside linebacker if that player is great. I mean, I think it's got to line up for me. Best player available and my biggest needs. And when that lines up, that's who I'm taking. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It has to line up. But I also look to me, if you have the best player on the board, even if it's not necessarily a position of need, this league has always been able to show you that pretty much every position is a position of need eventually.
Sure.
If you can land it. But in terms of the offensive line, like, The guy that's first on my mind, and I got to kind of look into this a little more, is Jonah Williams at Alabama. Is he going to be kicking around at 10?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Probably
either.
Not. You know, some of the drafts that I've seen, the mock drafts have him going pretty early. But you never know. You know, I mean, things happen draft day. All of a sudden, you know, quarterbacks seem to just, the closer you get to the draft, they just shoot up boards. And next thing you know, you might have three guys going in the top 10 picks. Four guys. You know, you just don't know how it's going to play out. So we saw last year. Nobody really expected Bradley Chubb to be at 5, but there he was. You know, Cleveland shocked everybody and took the cornerback out of Ohio State, and now there Chubb was. So I don't think he'll be there, but if he's there, I think, you know, you got a potential left tackle and a future franchise left tackle, and you can move Bowles to the right side. It would be hard to pass on that type of player. I mean, certainly he had an unbelievable career at Alabama. So I think if you have a chance to grab one of those offensive linemen, if Devin White is not available, that's the route you got to go.
It's amazing, too, because with this opportunity, with this pick, because you don't have to go necessarily quarterback, this does allow the flexibility to say, this is the guy we like, and I can get him at 15. So let's talk to some teams and see what we can do with this 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you the flexibility to move yeah. back. And you know, if Kyler Murray's sitting there at 10 and somebody wants him, look, okay, we'll trade you. What, you know, I mean, you might be able to pick up a first-round pick next year. Sure. You just never know what you'll be able to get from a team that is looking to move up. And certainly, at least you having that quarterback, you don't have to be one of those teams this year. So you have the flexibility to be able to move back if somebody blows you away with a deal and give you a first-round pick next year or give you a couple seconds. I mean, certainly the Broncos are in need, and we've talked about it all day, how much need they have at all these different positions.
All those positions. Right?
There's a lot of need on this football team where you could get younger and you could get better, and certainly moving back and getting more assets is a real possibility for the Denver Broncos and be able to accomplish getting more pieces to this puzzle and helping this football team, you know, get out of this slump and get back to, you know, winning football games again.
What's your take on Kyler Murray in terms of his size? Is that a factor?
Sure, it's a factor, right?
I think it is, but what degree?
Right. Because I don't, you know, pigeonhole a guy because of size. I just think that's foolish, but you can't overlook it. Right. You know, you can't say, okay, you know, who cares about how big he is? Because certainly it plays a factor. Now, I'm going to watch this film and see, can you operate at your size in the NFL? And I don't think his height is a big concern to me as his build, because his legs are something that is a big strength of his, right? Being able to run with the football. Now, he has to be smart, or he won't be able to last in the NFL. You know, you have to know when to get down and when to get out of bounds and those types of things. But his size, to me, is not something that would say, okay, I'm not touching this guy because he's 5'10". I just think, hey, are you a football player? He is a football player. Can he operate in the pocket? He can operate in the pocket. Now, there are concerns about his bulk and if he can withstand some hits. So those are real. But, you know, nobody can tell you that right now. We'll just see how it plays out. But to me, that guy has a chance to come in and energize a building, energize a football team, and kind of like Lamar Jackson did for the Baltimore Ravens. And if you put him in the right situation, I think he's got a chance to be special.
I kind of like what Lincoln Riley said when talking about his size. He's like, well, it's not like we have small offensive linemen at Oklahoma.
Right.
What was your
thought process on Kyler Murray?
Well, I was with you. When I saw him last year, I didn't see bulk. That to me is scary. I always thought after he got drafted by the A's that one of the things about the season coming, because when they allowed him to play for Oklahoma, I said, all right, watch out, because here's the problem. If he has success at Oklahoma and he is enjoying the lifestyle of having success at Oklahoma, I mean, you're right, it's a hard thing for a young guy to give away and go back to riding buses and going to Rancho Cucamonga to play baseball. Like, if you're the king of Oklahoma and you're leading a team to the playoff and possibly a national championship, that's an adrenaline. Like, you're not just going to give that away. So I thought Oakland, by allowing him an opportunity to play football, really put themselves in an awful situation, because if he was going to have success, he was going to want more of that.
Sure.
And he wasn't going to go, look, I'm going to give this away so I can work to make a Major League Baseball roster. That wouldn't make sense
right.
for a young kid.
No, but I mean, you know, I don't think Oakland had much of a choice. I mean,
no,
he had the leverage,
really.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
they drafted him. I mean, he could have just said, okay, well, I won't even sign with y'all,
yep.
but I'm going to play football. You know, so I don't think they really had a choice. He had all the leverage. He used it. Good for him. And also, I mean, let's not be fools here looking at his decision. If he's a top 10 pick, he's going to make a ton more money
yeah.
than that $4.5 million signing bonus, right?
Oh, no
right
kidding.
Away. And so I think you look at where he ended up and where he projects to be picked, he's going to make a lot more money than he would in baseball, especially early on. Now, if it was 15-year career, baseball might win out. But right now, as it sits, if he's going to, you know, sign that contract, where is he going to make more money right away? It's going to be in football. And that's, you know, if you're a first-round pick, that thing is all guaranteed. So certainly he realizes he could be a top 10 pick and certainly probably a top 15 pick. And that would make him a lot more money than the $4.5 million that the A's were going to give him. And, you know, you won't have to take those bus rides to, like you said, Santa. No, Right. Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga.
There
we go. What if you find out that you can't hit a major league curveball with a wooden bat, right? Like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, what do I do now?
This thing ain't flying out the park like it used to with those aluminum bats. Right. I mean, what's going on here? But and that's the other thing. You know, what is it easier to do for him? What happens if he plays 3 years and a team say, well, goodness, you're just not making it. You're hurt. They cut him. He still makes all his money. And now he can go try baseball again, but you're not going to do it vice versa. You're not going to go spend 3-4 years in the minor leagues and then try to go play football again. It just doesn't work that way. So no. I think choosing this way gives him the best option to where football doesn't work out. Okay, I'll go back to baseball in a few years and try it out, and somebody will give me a shot, certainly in baseball, but it wouldn't work vice versa for him. Once you're done with football and you spend 3 or 4 years in baseball, you're not going to get a legit shot, and certainly you're not going to make any money in football.
All right, earlier today we had a chance to talk to NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah on the draft and the Broncos and what they will be looking at. Here's what he had to say.
We're joined by former NFL scout and current NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. You can follow him at Move the Sticks. If there's anybody that I respect in this business when it comes to evaluating college prospects and NFL free agents, it's Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Stoked, you're the best, bud. How you been?
Oh, doing great, man. Doing great over here. You know, just you know, reacting to the news still of the Joe Flacco trade, your thoughts when it was reported that Flacco will be traded to the Denver Broncos?
I wasn't surprised. You know, when you kind of look at the teams that could be in the quarterback market and you try and identify whether they're going to be draft teams or free agent teams and then which players fit, you know, I thought it was a pretty easy match to match him up with Denver. So I wasn't surprised to see it happen. Maybe that it got done so early, you know, and they can't even process this for a couple more weeks. But, you know, we've seen him have success in this system previously.
Yep.
So I think that gives them some encouragement there in Denver that they can figure that out. You know, the challenge is going to be now they've got to go out and find some upgrades on the offensive line. They've got to take care of that next.
Daniel, Tony DeZiri here with Stoke. Give me the idea of the upgrade. Is this an upgrade from Case Keenum? These statistics are similar. Is this an upgrade situation?
I think it is. You know, I think people can grab statistics and you kind of look at them in a vacuum and you don't take into account who you're playing with, what system you're in. You know, the skill players, especially that he was throwing the ball to over the last several years, have not been good there in Baltimore. So you factor that in a little bit. You look at the big year that Case had there in Minnesota. I don't think Flacco's had Diggs and Thielen and that crew to throw to ever. So I think you got to look at that and just say, oh, look, arm strength wise, ability to really stretch the field. He's a big upgrade in that regard. But you do lose something in the mobility, and that's why I keep coming back to the fact that you know Mike Munchak's going to really earn his paycheck, and they've got to find some more offensive linemen here in the draft or at free agency.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they need to upgrade their line. And you look at the situation with Matt Paradis being a free agent, he might be gone. When you look at this crop of college quarterbacks coming in, and we're visiting with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, how do you view these guys, these young quarterbacks? I think the move also tells me that John Elway wasn't comfortable with, you know, his ability to draft one of these guys or with him not liking any of these guys. How do you view these college quarterbacks coming out this year?
Well, you know, last year I was screaming from the mountaintops how excited I was about that group. Really, I thought there was four guys that were ready to play right away, and they had kind of a wild card there in Lamar Jackson. So, you know, I like that group. This year, you know, I just don't see anybody in that mix. Kyler Murray is one I'm definitely fascinated by. I want to see how big he is, you know, how thick he is more than anything else. When we get to the combine, I just don't know. I haven't seen him live and in person. He's intriguing, but, I mean, you're definitely taking a risk on somebody that's going to be a size never seen before to have that type of success. So that's a wild card, in my opinion. Dwayne Haskins is a good player. I think he's the best one in the group this year, but I would rank him behind the top four guys last year. So he would be behind, you know, Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, and Allen. He would. I would not have him rated higher than those four.
Daniel, do you agree with the notion that Joe Flacco isn't the best veteran out there that could develop a young quarterback or that could play above a young quarterback who's looking to grow into the position?
I think a lot of people, I heard a lot was said about, you know, what he did or didn't do, mostly what he didn't do there for Lamar Jackson. But I also think it was a totally different offense that they ran with Lamar Jackson. So I don't know how much insight Joe Flacco, I don't know what he's going to teach Lamar Jackson in terms of what he should be doing on a zone read or QB power. You know, like, I don't think he has a whole lot to offer there. So I wouldn't read too much into that. And I think that that time has kind of come there with him in Baltimore. And I think that's something, if you communicate it up front, hey, look, we like you. We want you. We made this move to go get you. The keys to the car are yours. But just a heads up, we are going to be drafting one maybe in the, you know, second, third round. We're going to get a young guy in here. And we'd appreciate it if you could just kind of help him along. And he's not here to take your job right now. But I would imagine everything I've heard about Joe Flacco from the guys I know in that organization sounds like something he'd be okay with.
Yeah, we're visiting with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. Daniel, when you look at now the Broncos sitting at number 10, I think it frees them up now where they don't have to force a quarterback in the first round. I think you had Devin White going to them in your mock draft.
Linebacker.
Do you still see it that way, or do you see maybe, you know, one of these cornerbacks from LSU or Georgia being that selection?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, the corner group, I think it's a good group. I haven't seen a corner that I think's worth the top 10 pick. I think there's some good players. I don't know that there's that much difference between the guy you would have as the top corner versus the guy you would have as the sixth or seventh corner. So to me, I'm going to sit that one out there early in the first round and try and circle back and see if I can't get one of those guys in the next round. So maybe in a trade back scenario, but that coffee would be too rich for me. At number 10, I love Devin White as a linebacker. I think trying to find linebackers that can run cover in today's NFL is huge. And I think he would bring a lot to the table there. And as we've been talking about offensive linemen, there'll be some intriguing options for him. I think that's kind of the sweet spot because I think there's about four offensive linemen you're going to see come off the board in the top 12, 14 picks-ish. You've got Andre Diller from Washington State, who's a pure left, probably wouldn't be their guy. But Juwan Taylor, who could play on the right side, play inside. Cody Ford as well from Oklahoma, and then you've got Jonah Williams from Alabama. I think any of those guys would look good in Denver.
Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network joining us. All of those things that you mentioned, all of those kind of players and positions, lead me to kind of my next thought. Does this Flacco acquisition allow the Broncos this kind of flexibility at 10 because they need that kind of flexibility at 10?
Yeah, you know, I think when I just look at it face value, right, if you just kind of look at it and say, okay, Vic Fangio is one of the top, you know, three at worst defensive minds in the NFL. You've got a couple elite pass rushers and a couple other solid players you can depend on defensively. You've got John Elway, who everybody's been criticizing him because he's whiffed on all these quarterbacks. If you take those two factors into account and you've got an option there in the early portion of the draft or maybe even in free agency, don't you just kind of say, hey, Vic, you know, we might have a couple holes. You got to have to plug those with scheme because we're going to go get some better players so that we can make the quarterback look good on offense for all of our sakes.
And that's a great point when you're looking at his strengths and what Vic Fangio can do for this defense. You might not have to go get that player or go be that aggressive defensively in free agency. DJ, last one for me, and we're visiting with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. Give him a follow. Check him out on Twitter. Got great, great stuff at Move the Sticks. DJ, when you look at this draft class, where are the strengths and where are the weaknesses when it comes to the different positions?
Well, I think it's a pretty good offensive line group. You know, I mentioned those guys. I think there's a good group of interior offensive linemen that are probably going to be in that, you know, second round. It's probably going to be a sweet spot for a lot of those guys. I like that group. But look, this has been talked about since the fall. This is a defensive line draft. That is where there's the most depth. I think you're going to see eight guys probably go in the top, you know, 12, 13 picks. They're all going to be defensive linemen. There's a ton of them. So that, to me, is the pure depth in the class there. Quarterback-wise, I don't think it's great. Running back-wise, I love Josh Jacobs. But outside of that, I think you start getting into a lot of guys in those middle rounds are good players, but nothing like we've seen the last few years.
Daniel, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, DJ. Appreciate
it,
buddy.
Have a great
Thank
weekend.
You, man. Nobody
right,
does it better.
All right, so that was Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. Likes Devin White, but also pay attention to those offensive linemen like Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams, the guys like that for 10 for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen to him talk, and you know, he said there'll be some good ones there in the second round also. So I guess it would, you know, after hearing him talk there, it wouldn't shock me if the Broncos go, you know, offensive lineman at 10 and offensive lineman in the second round.
Yeah, so we'll, maybe.
You know, I mean, there's that big of a need there for the Denver Broncos that, I mean, it wouldn't shock, I don't think anybody really, if they went offensive lineman first round and second round.
All right, so he wasn't so high on the corners going high in the draft like my man Greedy Williams.
Right.
But, you know, he said, yeah, you might have to, you might come around to get them at the back end.
Right, so. Yeah. And that did surprise me a little bit there. But certainly the Broncos have a lot of needs. And if it's not Devin White, then go ahead and get yourself an offensive lineman. I'm fine with either one of those positions. Hopefully they get them an impact player like they did the year before in Bradley Chubb. I think that's the most important thing here. Whether it's cornerback, offensive lineman, or inside linebacker, get yourself a player.
Good working with you, Stuck. Really appreciate it, my man.
Tony, a lot of fun, buddy. A lot of fun. Have a great weekend, and we'll be chatting soon.
You too, my friend. All right, The Drive coming up next.